Richard.
Hi.
Thank you so much for being willing to share with us this evening. Now, I've said your name already. It's Richard Hames.
Yes.
And tell us what you do.
I'm a farmer, and I chair a network of international aviation law firms.
Okay,
we're
so
in
that's
47 countries.
That's a little bit of a mixture. Your background is not in farming. You're a gentleman farmer, aren't you? You're one of these guys that doesn't get their hands dirty. Is that right?
I sell the crop and take the losses.
Okay. But your background is, you're a lawyer.
Yes.
And what did you do in law? It's a little bit interesting, this, which is why I'm asking.
I used to buy, sell, finance and lease aircraft. And if in 2009, in December, you couldn't go away on an Alitalia flight, it's because I grounded and repossessed 16 aircraft.
Okay. So we're not talking buying and selling Cessnas. We're
talking
about big aeroplanes.
The big and the small.
Okay. Okay. And now you're a farmer. You're kind of moving out of the law, and you're a gentleman farmer in Chippenham. And it's lovely that you're a member here with us at Emmanuel.
It's great to be here.
What's your? You're a Christian.
Yep.
How did you become a Christian? Tell us.
In 1963, the parents of a school friend of mine asked my parents if I'd like to go to a Christian camp with their son. My parents and I never went to church, but I was about to go to boarding school, so they thought 10 days away from home would be very good for me to learn what it's like to be away. So I went, and at the camp there were daily talks. Well, my jaw dropped when I heard for the first time the simple explanation of the Christian faith. God created the world and everything in it. God the Father loved me, but what was my reaction? Instead of saying God's world, God's rule, I said my life, my rule. Well, obviously this had consequences. If I wanted to disobey God's rules, which in the Bible is described as sin, the Bible said the punishment for sin is death, which means eternal separation from God. Wow, you didn't expect to hear that today when you came to sing carols, did you? Anyway, it may sound bleak, but the good news is God sent his son Jesus over 2,000 Christmases ago. That baby in the crib grew up to die on the cross as a substitute for me in my place and take the punishment due to me for my sin and yours. Even better, Jesus went on to rise up from the dead on Easter Sunday and went up to heaven to be with his Father to prepare a place for me together with all who've put their trust in Jesus.
Okay, so you heard that. You heard that message.
Well,
over those 10 days.
Did I understand that at 13? No. But I did ask him to forgive my sins and accept me. But to understand what I've just explained took a number of years.
Okay, so that's 1963.
Yep.
A long time ago for some of us, at least.
Yep.
What happened next?
I went to school in Canterbury, and even though I had to go to the cathedral twice most Sundays, I didn't really hear any talk which helped me grow as a Christian, so I believe but remained a baby Christian. Then I went up to university, and on my first Sunday went to the university church. After the service, we were offered a glass of sherry. I was a bit shy, so I didn't go back again. However, each night...
So don't ever offer Richard a glass of sherry, because you'll never see him again, is that?
I'll be too shy.
Yeah.
But I used to read a verse from the Bible and say a short prayer each night. March 1971, things really took off. I went to the Students' Union, and there was some music playing. It was pop music. In those days, it was probably rock music. And I went in to see what was going on, and met a friend of mine, Steve, and said, "What's up?" And he said, "Oh, it's the Christian Union. We've got a meeting. Do stay." Well, it'd be rude to leave, so I had to stay. And I listened to the speaker, and first of all, I was convinced that God was saying to me, "Richard, sort out where you're going. Get a grip." And there were two things the speaker said that struck with me. One is, tell a friend if you become a Christian. And secondly, try for 4 weeks. So I told Steve the next day, and he said, "Well, there's a group of us. We get up at 7:30 in the morning to meet a few days a week." Well, I was used to getting up at 9, but I had agreed I would do this for 4 weeks, so I did it.
Just to be clear, we all Christians don't have to get up at 7:30 in the
you
morning.
You can get up at 10 if you want.
Yeah. No, I can't.
Some people think that if you're a Christian, you have to give up everything to be miserable and to eat bread and water. I can only say from my experience, the exact opposite is true. From 1971, my life has become more enjoyable and I've been more content than I ever was. It was by far the best decision I've ever made in my life. If you're not sure what I'm talking about, why don't you look at one of the contemporary accounts in the New Testament from Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, or chapter somebody here. This is too important to get lost in the tinsel of Christmas. As my son Peter said to my elderly mother, "You're going to die soon, Grandma. Have you sorted yourself out with God?" My mother, a wonderful lady but a non-believer, took it from Peter, started to read the Bible and trusted Jesus for her salvation. Mummy died in peace.
Yes, she did. She did. I remember. So, Richard, now you mentioned death and cutting to the chase very quickly, you've been unwell for a little while now.
Yep.
What is it that's wrong?
I've got prostate cancer, which has spread to the spine and other bones.
Okay.
Had chemotherapy earlier this year, and it really didn't work. I don't think we got on particularly well together.
You had a special kind of radiotherapy, didn't you?
I had that 2 years ago, which didn't seem to do anything either. But I've been introduced this week to a new pill, and we seem to be getting on very well. We're not fighting. There are no side effects. And so the longer this pill works and we can be friends, the better.
Okay. So we must pray that your pill will work as long as possible.
Absolutely.
Okay, and that's certainly what we're praying. But Richard, you know, many people, when they're given the kind of diagnosis you've been given, and the way the treatment, being very honest, hasn't been straightforward. Of the radiotherapy that you had, I think it was a new one and you were the first failure, I think.
Yep. So,
you know, some people would turn around and say, "God, I've been a Christian all these years. I've been loving you, and now look at the hand you've dealt me. This doesn't work. There can't be a God. Things have gone wrong. Hey-ho." I know that isn't your reaction.
No, I'd say exactly the opposite. God's been very good to me. I really do have peace. If you'd asked my partners in the city, "Would you expect Richard to have peace?" they'd say that's totally out of character. But I really do have peace. And I think I've been given it in four different ways that I just wanted to share this evening. The first is the Holy Spirit has given me peace in my heart. I really have had peace throughout the whole of this. Secondly, as I read the Bible, I found it very comforting. You may have seen on the screen earlier that we're reading the Bible together as a church, and in April when I was about to start chemotherapy, we were reading Psalms, and I was just going through day by day, and I just want to share the day I knew that the cancer had spread to the bones. That night I read Psalm 31. I just want to read you a few verses. "My strength fails because of my affliction, and my bones grow weak. But I trust you, Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hands. Be strong and take heart, all you who hope in the Lord." And then on the day I started my chemotherapy, in Psalm 41, "The Lord sustains them on their sickbed and restores them from their bed of illness." So God has filled me with his Holy Spirit. The Bible has helped. Friends praying has helped. Emmanuel, really, we're very, very grateful, Sandy and I, for your prayers and support. You've been a real family to us. But there are others also praying. I was just about to have the first chemo. They'd got the catheter in, and they said, "We'll be back in 1 minute." And the first time, you have no idea what's going to happen, so you're a little nervous. And I checked my iPad for emails, and I got an email from Andrew, who supplies coffee here, and he supplies coffee for the Bristol Men's Convention, but I don't know him. And he said, "I've just heard from our church in Burford, Ural. I'm praying for you." Now, I got that. It just came in, just before I had the chemo, and he signed it off in his grip. And my mind went to Andy Martin, who does sort of insane things. He sort of climbs up rocks in Scotland and camps in a tent clipped on to the rock face with hundreds of feet below. And I thought, well, he's secure by a couple of carabiners, but I'm in God's grip. Nothing can separate me from that grip. And then I have to say, my wife Sandy's been amazing in caring for me, looking after me and feeding me. After 31 years of marriage, I haven't regretted a day. So I really have been at peace. Just as Jesus has been my companion for most of my life, he is my companion through my cancer and will be my companion of my death and beyond.
Richard, thank you so much for sharing with us. That's really helpful.